Welcome to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals write an entire script week by week, page by page, one scene at a time. My name is Freddie Wong. Matt Arnold has something to say about our intro. What's that, Matt?
Oh, so we're changing up the intro. I was going to say that's a bad intro because that's how all screenplays are written. You, by definition, have to do it one week at a time.
Is there a podcast about all screenplays?
No, there's
a podcast about our screenplay, and this is how we do it.
But what makes us special is that we do it within an hour on a podcast.
Well, one scene at an hour in quotation marks.
An hour in quotation marks on a podcast.
Podcast in quotation marks.
A screenplay where Hollywood professionals use a screenplay program and write a script one letter at a time.
You know what?
Hey, Will, sidebar. Will.
Copy,
hey, Will, sidebar.
Yes.
Do you want to kick Matt off the podcast? We have what's known as a simple majority here.
You're a simple majority. We have a plurality of the podcast. So you're suggesting is it's like, welcome to Story Break, where
you watch Hollywood professionals on air in real time write a screenplay in front of your very eyes 1 hour at a time.
That's pretty
we'll
good.
Workshop.
Sure. We'll keep working on it.
Yeah, but like off the top of the dome, I'm just saying, maybe this is the excitement level. I'm Matt Arnold, by the way. I'm the one complaining about our intro. I'm also occasionally a writer and not a director in a very long time. It'd be nice to get behind the camera again. Hey, who's this guy to my right?
I'm Will Campos. I'm mostly a podcaster at this point. We got a weird energy today, guys. What's going on? Oh, yeah. By the way, the script Heaven Heist is about a crew of criminals robbing the Celestial Bank of Heaven and also cooking delicious dumplings for their grandma.
We're back on it this week.
We're back on the grind.
Let's get real. This is going to be a real episode.
Let's get real, because we don't know what the fuck we're doing.
So a little bit of background, as you probably know if you were listening, that we skipped the last 2 weeks because we were finishing up our own screenplay.
I mean, this is our screenplay too, but...
Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah, we finished up a different screenplay that we've been working on for many months, and now we're in that phase where we just got first notes and it's our first draft, so we're jumping between, like, we're geniuses and we're the worst writers of all time, so we already got that energy coming into it. We got to fix that. And then we finally opened up this screenplay, Heaven Heist. And I realize that we're on page 77, and we just wrote a dumpling anime, and I don't know what the rest of the movie is. So you're getting, like, the real screenwriting energy right now, which is, like,
surprised.
I don't know what we're doing.
I'm surprised we made it this far.
Yes.
I'm honestly, when I was, like, it's because every time, like, the number of times, like, there are no worse words in a writer's vocabulary than, like, you know what? Fuck it. This time I'm just going to sit down and write the thing, right? Like, that, the number of times that actually works and you get a good screenplay out of it is insanely low. So, like, we have finally, and, like, that's just, I think it just goes to show what a banger of a concept Heaven Heist is, that we managed to sail on those headwinds for 77 straight pages before we were like, wait, but what are we doing?
I do feel like, whether or not we knew it at the time, the jump to this cooking anime was just us running. The only way we could continue writing was to write a different concept entirely, because to the point we're sitting here being like, what? Like, again, there's many things we could do. So let's just kind of remind everybody where we are, which is they essentially know their plan. They got to steal the money. They got to get the money from the bank to Tai Shen, a god, a deity's house, which has a portal that allows you to transport, you know, dreams, prayers, whatever, in this case, physical money, back to the real world. And in order to get into Tai Shen's house, they're going to have to cook good dumplings because he has
Tai
a party.
Shen to Sai Shen.
Sorry.
Tai Shen now.
Sai Shen.
Tai Shen is the one in Thailand.
Should I just say Kai Shen? Is that the most consistent?
If you just do whatever you can
Sai Shen. Is that pretty good?
Yeah.
All right. Sai Shen. They go to his house. They're going to cook the dumplings for him. And then supposedly if they can figure that out, they'll get the money. They'll get the money to Earth. You could kind of do anything after that moment. It's just why? What's the point on the character level? Like, it could be about, like, the next scene could be like, how do we get into Sai Shen's house? We got to make him eat the dumplings. Or it could just skip all that and be like, we could just skip.
This is the problem with doing a heist movie about anything other than how cool heists and the people who do them are. Because in Mission Impossible, there's no like, but why? Like, why is Ethan Hunt doing this? Like, what has Ethan Hunt got going on inside that he's got to... What do the lasers mean when he ducks through them,
like, what
right?
Why does Ethan Hunt choose Wolf Blitzer to impersonate in... Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yes.
So Ethan Hunt's not trying to work through any issues. He's just trying to save the world.
And weirdly enough, heist movies are weird where it's like the whole planning of the heist is more or less, it can be as necessary or as unnecessary as you wish it to be. Because like what really matters is the actual heist itself, but you need this planning phase. But like movies, again, some movies like essentially ignore the planning altogether, whereas other movies like Le Cercle Rouge is like the entire movie's the planning, and it's just like a final little thing at the end. So it's just like, what are we doing? We kind of avoided what we were doing.
How the fuck was fucking Jean-Pierre Melville got to do 20 zillion movies and they entirely live or die by the fact that Alain Delon is very cool?
Yeah.
Right? Like, can you imagine reading the script from Le Cercle Rouge and be like, this is the most mind-numbing fucking boring thing? And he's like, don't worry. I'm going to get these six coolest people on earth to be in this movie and it's going to work.
I got six actors that you could literally just watch sitting on a toilet for 3 hours. So, like, them walking around cool scenery is a step up from that. So, like, it's going to be good.
You know how Alain Delon was cool? It's because he came out with his own sunglasses brand, which already, right, most celebrities aren't like, well, like Will Smith doesn't come out with his own sunglasses brand. He'll be like some brand.
Matt is
Googling
right now to see if Will Smith has a brand of sunglasses.
He probably has like a Ray-Ban X Will Smith, like, you know,
collaboration. Right, he doesn't have like his own company.
His own company doing it. And then he just sent a pair to his cool friend, Chow Yun-Fat, and was like, hey, put these on. And Chow Yun-Fat wore them in A Better Tomorrow. Those are the sunglasses that Chow Yun-Fat wears. And they caused a firestorm in fucking all of Asia because everyone wanted these. These cool ass sunglasses.
I didn't realize they were Alain Delon sunglasses.
Those are Alain Delon 707As. I've been by the way, the reason I know that, I have been searching for a pair for 5 years. Okay. Like, I have, like, yeah, anyway.
So
it's very hard to find.
All right, so let's get back to first principles for a second. We could whine and caterwaul about how we don't know what movie we're making.
That's so much easier than writing a movie. That's what most writer Twitter is. It's like, it's so hard to write. It's like, well, fucking stop tweeting. Go write.
Put Twitter down. Stop hashtagging. Stop. If the words hashtag writers write, hashtag am writing are coming out of your fucking thumbs, just put it down. Pull up the screenplay program and bang your head against the wall like the rest of
us. Or complain on a podcast. At least be professional
fucking
about it.
Fucking take it to your podcast. God damn. No. All right. So, Kyle, Jin. Our main boy, right?
Yes.
The heist is just an expression of his character, right?
Yes. Okay, maybe this is the way to think about it. Because not all good heist movies, but a lot of heist movies do the double turn where it's like, ooh, the person, like you thought the heist was this, but the heist was really this. And this movie is really about his brother's heisting his humanity. His brother's heisting his soul. In the end, it's like the real trick that was played is that his brother saves his soul. Right?
Maybe.
Of some sort.
Interesting. No. Like,
does he go to heaven? Like,
I'm still not entirely sure how his brother slices into this thing. We've been a little loosey-goosey about that.
That might be the thing to narrow down on, because it does feel like the two relationships you're building.
So we have, so we just did this sequence with the grandma, right? Yes. And again, I think why we're kind of freaked out right now is it is like we just wrote the ending of a different movie that I feel like you could kind of just roll credits and be like, oh, that was fun, and then he saved his grandma and she went to heaven. So we are kind of like, we have to kind of like jumps to reboot the movie again a little bit.
Because there's definitely a version where it's like this all builds to he's going to heist heaven. And like, you know, essentially we know that more or less he may get money in the physical realm, but he's probably, you know, sentenced
damning
to hell for
to
eternity.
Hell.
And then this relationship with his grandma makes him like change his ways and she's enlightened. And he's like, why am I doing this? Like, I love these dumplings. I could have a straight life on earth and, you know, open up a dumpling shop.
Yeah, maybe the heist was he needed to get grandma's dumpling recipe so that he could get the 5 stars on Yelp that he needs.
It does feel like the thing to crack this open is going to be the last thing that we had before this whole food anime sequence was he is lying to his brother to get information about being a good person.
It's got to be back to
the brother. But it's really about stealing from heaven. And it feels like that. And you know, yes, we have a little bit more clarity with Tequila and Jin right now. But like everything from the first dinner sequence, it does feel like the true heart of this story or like the struggle between, you know, Jin's morality is really between him and his brother are like, you know, mirrors of themselves. Really his foil.
So I think we need to get back to the brother. I think in terms of like what I don't want is 10 more pages of like, and then we do this thing for the heist and then we do that. I feel like we have gotten emotionally what we need to out of heaven for the time being.
Yes.
Agreed.
Right. It feels like we need to pivot this thing back to earth.
Yes.
And then we're going to like, you know, maybe come back for the heist itself. So like, I will say we can't just cut back to earth. So there is like the matter of what to do about the rest of the heist, right? Like in getting this heist in order to go off, right? The momentum we're on is they came to heaven to fucking scout the place out and case the joint and get their heist ready to go.
It feels like the heist should be really figured out, but really all we've done in 77 pages is they learn how to cook dumplings. So it's one of those stuff things where it's like, yes, like momentum-wise, it feels like after this moment with the grandma, it's like, cool, the heist is good to go.
It should be. It should be. They need a thing with the brother. They need him to figure something out with the brother. I think.
Well, then we know what the brother's role is going to be in the caper.
Yeah,
right?
Praying for.
Like that could be the next thing you have to check in on. I'm approaching this from two ways. There's emotionally where we want the story to go, but then there's how we're going to get it there, and then there is just the very fact of the matter is that like we still have like we haven't even fucking been in the bank yet. Do you know what I mean? Like the like we haven't been in the bank. We haven't been to Kai Shen's house. Like there's
But I will say this. It does feel like you want to ellipses that kind of prep, right? Like, they don't go into the same level of detail of every aspect in the Ocean's movies of,
sure,
like,
but
the
like,
prep, you know?
They, no, like, but walk the casino floor.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah, to Will's point, I think the things we need to show, and, like, this is not about how we're showing them, just the things that we need to show in some way. And these this way could take 30 pages. It could take...
3 pages.
It could take a second if you just have Jin be like, here's how it's going to go down, and you show it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Visually and cinematically, you need to see the portal that they're going to throw the money into. Because that's the end game. That's the goal. That is the exit plan. That's how, that's what everything's going to circle around at the end when complications happen. It's going to be, can they get the money in there in time or whatever? You don't even necessarily need to see the bank, like the inside of the bank, if you want to show it as they go. Like, you can show blueprints and stuff. Like, again, in Lady Killers, you know, not everybody's favorite movie, but it's like, you can have a blueprint of the casino and not know what it's actually going to be like on the inside until, like, they break into it.
Right.
As long as you're showing how they're doing it. But, like, yes, you need to know at least how they're planning on getting the money from the bank.
Yes, because here's what's going to happen in the actual heist sequence is this is how I see the heist actually going is they you got two teams. You got the bank team and you've got the Kai Shen's house team,
yes.
Right? They probably split up. And then what you do is like the heist at the bank goes very well until one bad thing happens, right?
Yes.
And they have the money, but they've tipped off the feds.
Yes.
And now there's a chase through heaven as they're being pursued by these guys.
Yes.
And meanwhile, that is now causing tension at Kai Shen's because they have a very narrow window of opportunity to get this money through the thing.
Yes, Kai Shen was going to be like, they have 1 hour where the Rose Garden is open and they're going to come into the back of the Rose Garden, go straight through the back door and throw it in. But because of the complication and the bank, they're suddenly a couple minutes behind. And what's this? Oh no, Tai Shen's like, no, let's go to the Rose Garden early. And who's there at the Rose Garden? It's all the vengeful gods of violence who are all sitting there, like right where they're going to go in. Like, shit, how are we going to get this money into Tai Shen's house
right
now?
Right, right.
And it's like, yeah, there's your complication and it's all hijinks and stuff like that.
I think they overcome all of the obstacles to get the money through the well. And then I would do, then there is a turn with the brother on Earth that they weren't anticipating.
Yes.
That makes the whole, like, the thing that I keep going to in the back of my head is, like, if this whole thing is about on Earth, like, muscling the brother into praying to Kai Shen, like, the brother prays to Kai Shen, but, like, not for his own wealth, but for, like, you know, like, please look after my family if I get killed by these gangsters mm-hmm. or something like that. Or he says, you know, he prays for, like, you know, like, the emotional wealth or, you know, like, something like that, and it fucks the whole thing up.
Or does his brother realize what's happening right before? Beforehand,
he
that
tips
his,
off the god.
No, I was gonna say, like, or is the cost is like the thing that they don't expect? Is like he, the things he does, like, makes his brother lose faith or something. Like, and then the
his brother is given up.
Like, that's the cost of this has happened. Now the money's just floating in who knows where. It's just in the abyss or something.
Limbo.
Yeah, it's in limbo. It's like waiting. They threw in money to where there's no prayers, so it's just gone in there, and they don't know what's happened. Mm-hmm. And his brother's like a broken man now, or something like that. Yeah.
We got a lot of plate spinning because then there's Mrs. Wonderful and there's the traffic cop.
Back to basics. This is a gut check sort of moment, which is funny because usually when we're writing our screenplays, like, you know, not on podcasts, it gets to about page 40, 50. We have this gut check moment where we rewrite the first 40 pages like four times because we're like, what is this movie really about? I feel like we're at this moment, which is you can't really know what's next until you really like, what is this movie about? What is the end of this movie? Like, what is this movie for Jin? Because, like, that's going to be the true north. Because, yes, there's a million things we could do, but ultimately the next steps can be based off of what are we trying to set up for Jin's story? And what does he really want?
Things we've talked about in the past
yes.
are him wanting to be alone, right?
Yes.
And that craving solitude, which, you know, usually by page 77 you've expressed in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. It's like he wants money, like obviously,
yes.
like any heist movie, like the very immediate want is I want a lot of money and he's willing to give up his, you know, eternal soul for it.
Again, stuff we had talked about was like if he grew up tough and like his older brother was this monk who never looked out for him, does he have a chip on his shoulder about his family? Like, yes. What do you want the ending to be like in various versions? There was a version where the plan was that they get reincarnated. And then whoever their man on the inside, I think there was the previous versions where it was like the clairvoyant kid or whatever. They get reincarnated and they meet up at the spot where the money's supposed to be and mm-hmm. it's not there and they got fucked over.
Mm-hmm.
But it is like, oh my God.
Can he be reincarnated as a tree?
I think he, I don't know if trees are, I don't know.
Because I was trying to think about something
that'd
like
that'd be pretty chill, dude.
Well, I don't know, like something about like kids, like again, he never left, especially if you do it to his older brother, it's like he never let his brother take care of him. And he was like, again, his brother's always trying to like, you know, care for his, you know, soul and, you know, being not like, you know, if he does this and he gets away with it or whatever, and like he doesn't go to hell, he gets reincarnated as like a tree that it's like is literally the last image. Like his, he literally, he, his brother, you know, waters him every day and he gives his brother shade, and it's like they're together, you know, and it's like they, like, you know, he's now his, like, he's, they, there's this weird relationship that they have now, and it's like his brother knows it's him or whatever. It's like that's his final, it's like this solitary life, he's, but not the, solitary, he's like, he's like, he's just a, you know,
gentry.
Yeah, the gentry, and his brother, you know, cares for him every day,
and
he gives his brother shade.
And then all the gangsters are the little animals that come to visit the street. Like Tequila gets cut, it's like a squirrel. Tequila comes back as a worm, and you know,
it's a whole garden. It's like his brother nurtures his whole garden.
And Tequila like brings like a nut in to him, and he whispers him like, "We'll get him next time."
Okay, because there's something very Buddhist about that, and there's something very, I keep thinking of also, there's the one of the most beautiful ideas in Buddhism is, so there's like the Bodhisattva is like, mm-hmm. like when you become an enlightened being, you can become an enlightened being and just break through the karmic cycle of rebirth and move on, mm-hmm. right? But a bodhisattva breaks through the karmic cycle, but then vows to come back mm-hmm. over and over again until all beings are liberated.
To like help.
Yeah, exactly. To help, right? It's like, and there's, it's just this beautiful,
it's like
kind
a
of
flight
home
attendant.
Where you're like, you know, like a,
it's,
you
like
know,
a flight attendant. They don't get to jump off the plane. They got to direct you to the
yes,
exit.
Yes, it's
rows.
Like a flight attendant.
Bodhisattvas are like the flight attendants.
It's
Buddhism.
It's like a, it's almost like a superhero thing. It's like, yeah. you're like, I, you know, like you're, like, you're like, you know, sort of like ignorant beings are infinite. I vow to liberate them all. You're yeah. like, it is, it's almost this impossible task.
It's but like another version of like a Jesus type figure.
Yeah. Like, so
how do you
I'm
think,
like,
how, just real quick, how do you think the other people who achieve enlightenment feel? If it was like we all achieve enlightenment and it was like Matt was like, "Nah, you guys go on ahead. I'm going to stay behind for everybody." We'd be like, "Well, shit, that makes us feel like assholes."
You probably
now.
Feel pretty yeah. bad. And yeah. then you go, "Well, he's right. I should do that
too." But
then
too. You feeling like an asshole might actually stop you from going moving on. So in a way, all right, then it's enough theological
you'd
discussion.
You'd be enough that you'd be like, "That is his way. This is my way."
This my, my way
my
involves
way.
Not doing this much work.
My way involves piecing the fuck out, baby.
Not enough work.
My way involves vacation. My way involves we out.
Okay, so, all right, we have tree ending.
Well, here's, because here's what I could see. Mm-hmm. Is I'm just trying to think of like, again, yes, but only his ending. Is like, is there a moment where the ultimate climax comes down to, is Jin and, you know, the crew to some degree, or maybe Jin even betrays the crew, I don't know. Is it, does it come down to, they get, because it used to be like, it's going to be, he's going to sacrifice his own soul to get this money or something. But is it really at the end, is it about like, is he going to give up all this money to save his brother's soul? Like this journey, he is ironically learning about heaven and this afterlife and all this stuff while doing the money. And he's using his brother, mm-hmm. not realizing that he is destroying his brother's soul and faith as he is, you know, using him. And like his brother feels like he's betraying him. And then like, you know, Jin finally lets out like all the grievances he's had all his time. And he's beginning to doubt whether or not his way's been, you know, correct and all this stuff. And then it's like, in the end, it is like, if this was a Spider-Man movie or if it was like the Dark Knight movie, it's like his brother's hanging over the portal of hell and the money's going in one way and Jin can learn. Kill himself and save his brother's soul, or you know, get out of here and get the money.
There is something I like about yeah. the tree ending. Mm-hmm. Not to say that it's literally the tree ending, but if you were gonna do like that, yes, that kind of choice that Jin ultimately has the money in his reach. Again, it's like what we say, like with you know, when we have that line with Tequila early on, where Tequila's like, if you're the one to heaven, you should just be figuring out how you got to heaven and do mm-hmm. that. Like that's the real paradise, that's yeah. the real riches, right? And Jin's not ready to do that. And I think by the end, yes, his karma is that he does. Like he,
yeah.
and yes, that he pays a sort of karmic price in that he is going to come back as a tree, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, yeah, he dies.
Has, he's just, his choice is just that he's going to continue to work on himself, so to yeah. speak, as such as that is.
Yeah.
Reincarnation, the ultimate self-care, Will?
That's Freddy's book.
I want to throw myself into the sun.
Because there's something
reborn as someone who never heard you say that.
what's kind of nice about that too is, like, again, even in a way, it's like he's also like, I don't want to be a sap in heaven. Like, even my grandma's like stuck here, like still working 9 to 5 or whatever to, you know, make it. There's an element of like his brother's working to make the earth beautiful. Like, he'll be concerned with the afterlife when he dies. He's not working to be like, when I die, I'm going to make sure I got like a mansion in heaven or whatever. His brother's like a tree. It's very Ikaru. Like, if you can plant a single tree or a park or help like kids across the street, like, that's all his brother's trying to do. His brother's trying to make this the here and now better for everybody. Whereas Jin is concerned about himself so obsessively that's not just about himself now, but himself, you know, making sure he's like,
he's weaving this destructive path.
Yeah.
All right. So that's all well and good. Because, yes, you have like the moment that got him into this. It was this moment of compassion, right?
Yes,
that he swerved out of the way, the old lady.
Yes.
Right? And there's going to be a similar moment at the end.
Yes.
Where that's who he is. He's the guy who, like, you know, this little seed of goodness in him is going to blossom.
Which, by the way, I think a thing you would tweak in terms of, like, Jin would be, Tequila should still be, like, a mentor, but I think he should be a little bit more, Tequila should be a little bit the devil on his shoulder and his brother, like, the angel on his other shoulder. Like, Tequila can be, like, a good anti-hero mentor than, like, just, like, truly, like, soulful, like, you don't want to be, like, in this crime or whatever. Like, he can be, like, kind of the, again, what they're trying to do in Solo with, whoever. But I think there needs to be a little bit of an element of Tequila.
Let's, like, open that can of worms later.
But the reason, because what I like is that he is embarrassed of helping this old lady, and everybody is annoyed with him and like things that he caused a problem. Like, and the difference is that he inspires his crew to also become good people. Like, that's like the real effect. It's like goodness begets goodness. Like, he is good, and like this time, like, all the crew is swerving out of the way of the old lady because he's a good person. So he changes this whole crew is going to be, you know, this is going to be, if you're going to do, they're all like chipmunks and worms or whatever in this car. He's like, the whole crew like changes in the end because like they also are going to learn from Jin. Sometimes you just gotta step up and be the good person, like, and be the influence on everybody else in the world rather than just like hide your head down in this like kind of peer group of these like gangsters or whatever.
That's all lofty and well and good. I'm trying to bring that back down to the here and now.
Well, so I think the here and now would be like, if that is your true north, then what this next sequence of it needs to be is, how does this heist start ruining his brother's life? And one way, if it's wonderful, is like, if it needs to be, his brother needs to desperately pray for this money, then like he needs to make sure that his brother's life starts going poorly in the right way. And maybe he doesn't realize that those goons were actually part of Miss Wonderful, right? And all of a sudden, like, now they're running the thing. Or like, again, it's like, you know, he thinks it's all well and good, like, whatever, he stole some money so that he couldn't pay his next payment. But like, he didn't realize that, like, oh shit, the power went out and like his brother lost a kid, like, on the operating table. His brother's like a broken man or whatever. It's like, you need these things. Like, how does he start shaking his brother's faith in order? And in his mind, he's like, it's all gonna be well and good. He's having a tough time now, but once he prays for this money, he's gonna get his cut and it's gonna be all great.
Yeah,
like,
the way
it's all
you
fine.
Can have it justified is like, let's say he empties the coffers of the bank account of the hospital, right? And he like manages to find some sap to pin it on. And in his head, he's just like, it's just in the holding account. It's just an escrow account. The moment he prays for it, we'll just give it back to him and then he'll get this cut. And all of a sudden, it's like his prayers are answered. Our prayers are answered. It's all good. He's just going to need to suffer a little bit of emotional distress, you know, as he believes someone has laundered money from this, you know, beautiful thing. And then the complications can be like, oh, you know, like Ms. Wonderful can get access to that money or what have you, right? Like, there's definitely a world where you can just play it as,
yeah, like his,
the way he does to get his brother to want more money is he needs to start like stealing the money from his brother in real life.
His rationalization, he's like, his brother's miserable now, but once he prays and it's all well and done, he'll see that I was trying to do the right thing and he'll laugh it off. Maybe he'll be a little pissed at me, but he'll have this money. And what he doesn't realize is like, no, like he can do permanent damage to his brother, where it's like his brother like loses all respect for him as a human being and realizes like and loses his faith and his morality because what he's done, what he's pushed his brother to do, and that's like a real cost of this heist. And then it's Jin going to try to fix it and make it right in the end rather than what he was trying to achieve.
All right, so it seems like the next complication then needs to be that, yes, him needing to get his brother to pray, right? Yeah. Like, that's what we're trying to get to.
Yes.
Right. So it's like, hey, the heist is all in order, you know, but we've got one problem.
Yes.
Your brother isn't going to pray to Kai Shen. You know what I mean? Like the...
When was the last time you've seen Thomas Crown Affair?
It's been a long time.
It's a sexy-ass movie. But this is actually the structure of it, because that's a romance. So if this was like a romance between him and his brother, it is...
Nice.
Yes. Yeah, it is...
Supernatural shipping, am I right?
Rene Russo is the art detective, whatever. And Pierce Bronson is the thief.
Oh, the remake. Good God.
And they are obviously having chemistry. But at the end of the day, it's like he, in order to satisfy his, you know, heist obsession that he has, the cost of it, he's really doing this just to impress her. Like, at the end of the day, he's like, I like this woman. She's like finally like somebody who's on my level. Like, it's this sexy cat and mouse game. But he pushes her so hard that he like ruins her career and makes her question like who she is as a person. And like, maybe I am an idiot. And then in the end, he's got to fix it by, he essentially gives up his art thing in order to fix what he did with her.
So by doing something even cooler.
By doing something even cooler in that movie. But it's cool and sexy. So like, hell yeah, I can do that. Maybe similar. It's like he is pushing his brother to do this thing.
All right. Okay. So then what we have established that Freddy in the movie, that there are these goons that want money.
Yes.
Right? That, and that he doesn't have the money. That's what gives Jin the idea to be like, we can get him to pray to Kai Shen and yes. then get this miracle to happen. Right? Yes. So if that's what's going on, I think when he comes back out, something needs to have happened with that that now jeopardizes him being... Do you know what I mean? It would be like he comes out and the fucking goons, like, his brothers converted them to Buddhism. Do you know
yes.
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
okay.
they're
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, like, the, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It would have I thought to you were be, saying, yes, it's a complication for Jin. Like, it goes well for his brother, so now he's like, shit, I gotta get it worse for my brother.
Yeah, so it would be something like that.
So they plan this whole heist, and then when he's like, all right, cool, now I just gotta go see my Satsak brother and make sure he prays. It's like, oh, like, It's a Wonderful Life was playing in the background the entire time.
Yes,
the whole
he
town.
Made a moving speech to Parliament, and they decided to grant them more funding. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
fuck. Yeah, now I'm in deep. Now I have to do it. It's not enough for me to just exploit my brother. I have to make his life worse.
Yes.
To make this heist go off. Okay, yes. I like that.
Yes, and that's an element of Tequila. Be like, are you sure you want to go down this far? It's like, what else are we going to do? He's going to be fine once we fucking pay him off. It's going to be all great. Like, yeah, it's like, he's not even in real trouble. He's in us trouble. Like, we're making it seem like he's in trouble. He'll be fine. Like, what are you talking about? Tequila's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, he's getting beaten up by goons like a week ago. Now he's just going to think he's lost all his money and he'll pray and he's going to get it. Times a million. Jeez.
Well, yes, and then what you could do is, like, you would do, like, if the brother has this money to save the church in, like, an account or somewhere, or he's gotten something, you would do Jin steals it, and with the plan of giving it back,
yeah.
just to get his brother to panic to, you know, do this prayer or whatever, but then Miss Wonderful's like, I need some money right now, or something like that, or,
yeah.
like, they have to use the money, or I don't know, maybe that's a little clunky, but, yes, the next thing being him having to, yes, the situation with his brother has escalated, and that he's now has to, like, if you're really committed to this, you have to do him dirty, like,
yes.
in a major way.
Yes.
Is good. So
yes.
then, but I think for right now,
it's getting to that moment where they realize.
It's getting to that moment. It's essentially this next little bit. It has to feel like all the chips have fallen into place,
yes.
and this is, could go off without a hitch tomorrow.
Yes.
But then he's on his way to get the brother to pray, and he's like, I'm praying to Saishen for gratitude because my life is going great. Like, you know, I had these trouble with these gangsters, but they, you know, like, you know, the two gangsters working at the temple now is like a pretty clear, like, ah, shit, like,
yeah,
this is
yeah.
a problem.
Yes, this small sequence is we essentially fast pass through the rest of the heist. And it is like very much like when they are out of heaven, they're like, great. Like Sai Shen's party is at, you know, in 2 days at 7 p.m. Everything's good to go. Let me just check in on my brother.
Yes.
Like it's like the heist is like you feel like they got it.
Yes. And then he goes to see his brother and it's like, uh-oh.
And yes, in a second draft, maybe we'll check out the balance of how much of this should be a dumpling anime and how much should be like figuring out the heist. But in terms of like
no
way
one.
It is. And then, yes, they go there and there is a complication and that's the end of the scene. And it's like, oh, shit, his brother is totally fine. Now we know what the next step's going to have to be, which is like he's got to get his brother desperate. Which is interesting, like, what is he going to do to make that happen?
I wonder if there's a moment coming up that if you, especially if you're going to do someone being like, are you really okay doing this to your brother, mm-hmm. right? If we had to be Tequila or whoever, that you get like a, do you know how I got these scars kind of speech
a
from
resentment,
Jin,
even.
Where, yeah, like, he opens his shirt up and he's got a bunch of fucking, you know, cigarette burns or whatever, and it's like, I got my ass kicked every day because that fucking monk could never deign to stand
yeah.
up for me.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I figure I'm getting, this is back pay for,
yeah.
you know, his karma. You know, like, everyone talks about my karma. What about his karma?
I like
you
that.
Know, like.
So, yes, I think I'll be okay if he's sad for 2 days.
Yeah, give me a fucking break.
About not
yeah,
having
yeah,
money,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then I'll pay him off $1 million afterwards. Yeah, I think
and
I'll be okay
with
it.
And then that kind of ties into, like, the thing with the grandma, too, that the grandma's yes. whole thing was letting go of her anger at her husband,
yes.
right? And similarly, Jin needs to let go of this beef, which, you know, in better
yeah.
future drafts would show up on page 20 as opposed
yeah,
to
yeah,
page
yeah.
90. Or whatever
yeah, yeah.
this crazy sprawling thing we're writing. yeah. yeah. All right.
Jump the dumpling. Maybe that'll be the new term.
Jump yeah. the dumpling.
I like hard cutting to Sai Shen tasting these dumplings. Like they've cooked them. Like
yes.
we don't
they're
need to see.
Some, they're clearly have wrangled their way into some tasting ceremony or something. He's like, all right, you guys cater. I need 10 million by.
Or they're like, there's like, there's heaven Yelp. And they're like, you'll never believe this. And they got a 5-star review. And it's like, I went to this place in disguise the other day.
No. What should be, it's like, it should definitely be, it's like an audition room. And it's all these people holding dumplings. And they're like, hey, what are your dumplings? Like, hey, I'm not going to show you my dumplings. And they're all lined up inside.
Oh, it's like God of Cookery.
And somebody was like, you can all go. We've already picked the dumplings for the ceremony. It's like, oh, man. And you come in and it's Jin. And you're like, okay. Like, you saw that.
And
there
they
was
got
like
cool sunglasses on. They're like, nice.
Yeah. And everybody's like, they did it. Then you cut to Sai Shen's like butler is showing them around, being like, here's where we're going to put the table, you know, this is where you guys can cook and all this stuff. And you're getting the layout of their house, and they're all trying to coyly be like, hey, how do we where's the, is there like a,
is there an outdoor venue?
Oh yeah. And then yes, they, yeah, you
is there
do
like a pit?
One of them, yes, the one of them is sneaking off like, where did your friend go? Like,
yeah,
where,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
sorry, I was just in the bathroom. And it's like, I found the thing, you know, it's, yeah, like, or whatever. Yes, you can do that. I was like, I also feel like we should do like, you always see that scene where like they get the tour of the bank.
Yeah, so I was saying you could cross cut between these,
yes,
two.
Yes, and like, you know, Tequila's posing as, you know, or someone is masquerading as like a holy man who just died and is going to be, yes, getting all of this money. You know,
yes,
like, and the Bank of Heaven really wants his business.
Yes,
know?
It's
like,
yes.
And this is our top of the line secure vault, you know, where we, you know.
Yes.
And it's like, mm-hmm, very good, very good.
It should be like cognac and tequila. There are two rich people that died in their private jet or something. And they want to make sure all the money's going to all the best, you know, most noble places that they could go in heaven. So, you know, we like to double check that we put, you know, before we bring our money in here or whatever it is. It's like, you don't have any other choice. Like, we're the only bank in heaven. I'm like, well, maybe we'll just hang on to it. Before we tell our ancestors to
it should
burn
be a
this money.
No, it should be a tourist group.
A tourist group?
Well, because here's the thing, right? They'll do these tours of like, you know, like
bank vaults.
Well, because it's heaven. Everyone's a goody two shoes. Who cares? Uh-huh. They're not. No one's going to steal it. They can just sign up for the 2 o'clock tour. And everyone's like, wow, so interesting.
That actually being the joke with the bank would be very funny.
Oh, like they're like,
well, it's heaven. It's all. Well, although we've kind of seen that like Jin's grandma barely got in. Like,
yeah,
like Jin got in.
Yeah, but they're not going to be people who rob from
like
heaven.
Like, where are you going to take the money, right? Like,
yeah,
the,
it's like, that's fine. Who cares?
Well, I know, but you need to be a balance. Like, the moment they grab the money, it's,
yes,
like angels are going to descend upon them and kill them.
Well, yeah.
But
can have,
yes,
that.
I think, yes, I would see, yeah.
But it's definitely loose up there, man. If they're on heaven time,
I know, I'm just trying
you
to think
it's like
a fun thing to play, though. If
it's
just like
there's
like
a roller coaster. It's like a little, there's a roller coaster.
Like literally
in
Harry
the
Potter
bank.
when they're like,
welcome to Gringotts, hello, get on the roller coaster.
But yeah, so they efficiently
children?
Set that up for their heist.
Yes, it feels like you would do this breezy little sequence.
It's Jin and Brandy are with the dumplings looking at Sai Shen's house, and Tequila and Cognac are looking at the bank, and you're just cross-cutting between these two things quickly. It's like a fun little snappy thing. They're like, all right, we got it. We got great dumplings. We know how we're going to get the bank. Like, we're good to go. Looks like 2 days from now, we're going to do this thing. And then now let's just check it on the brother, and then ta-da. Oh, no. I guess you could do a tour. I'm just trying to think of like how you get into, because it's this little piece of fun world building or whatever. Or again, it's like they are newly deads.
Newly deads.
Like newly wed.
Oh, boy.
And, there's a couple of newly deads, and, you know, we just want to see where our money's going to be. We're expecting some, you know, we got some children. We think most of them are pretty good. So they're definitely going to come up here. We just wonder if we should set up saving accounts or how's it going to go.
Are these interest-bearing accounts? Do they pay annuities?
If I do become enlightened, I just want to make sure where does my money go to. I don't want to give it all to charity on earth. It would be nice to set up some of my kids here. And, like, you know, some of my worst relatives that do make it to hell, is there anything I can do to kind of, like, ease their suffering at any bit? You know, it's like, oh, actually, we have a really nice, like, you know, hell exchange program.
You can
program.
Wire money straight to hell through Bank of America. yeah, we have a sister
jokes.
Branch in hell, and then you cut to hell, and it's Bank of America.
Or as well as Fargo, with their, like, they got, like, the dead horses. They're the
fucking
sky fucking chariots.
Skeleton horses.
Yeah.
All right. Hell's Fargo.
Oh, shit. There you go.
All right. Okay.
What do we need to answer for the bank? How are they going to get the money out of there? So we want to make the bank as easy as possible as well.
Yes. Or you want that thing that's going to go wrong.
How do they get the gold?
Good question.
And do they just realize the thing that the people on Facebook realize, which is they just steer whoopsie away from the bank? But everybody would see it. Again, that's not a good solution. It's like, it's be like, you're saying the attack the armored car before going to the bank. That's God's own problems.
Like, well, then it would be like they're piloting whoopsie around heaven.
Yeah, and then angels are like, why? But whoopsies doesn't move very quickly.
And also they don't fly. Angels fly.
So anyway,
I mean, you just have it that they just figure out a way into the sorting facility, and that there's, you know, you just invent some.
Yeah, the what? Yeah, yeah, so
we're trying to.
That's
what we're trying to do.
Gold comes in. There's a sorting facility.
This is writing with directors and producers. Is you're like, what about this? You're like, well, yeah, you do a thing.
Yeah, so the gold comes in. There's a sorting facility downstairs. They sneak in and they blend in with the, you know, the so and so's, and they grab a cart, and that's the way they get it.
Okay, so they're gonna grab. There's a sorting facility when all, because yes, all the gold just piles, just yeah. drops into this funnel.
Yeah.
Is what we've established from before, because we've seen that Whoopsie just drops all his gold into the ceiling. So it would make sense. It would be self-explanatory to show the sorting area.
Yeah, there's a sorting facility.
Yeah, I get it. Drops to the ceiling and it gets sorted like a coin machine.
Yeah, so they're on a newly dead tour of the bank.
And they see that.
Yeah, yes. The Whoopsie shoot sorts $12 trillion of gold bullion every 5 minutes, you know?
Yes.
And so, yes, it is like this thing. And it's this funnel. If it's this big funnel that then goes like the sorting tubes in Paddington to like a bunch of different places, right?
Yes, right.
Then it would be like, if you can just direct that tube to like your
waiting truck or something.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Here's all this. There's some stuff that comes in now on the tour. Now, of course, when people burn Joss paper, blah, 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 but not everything is, you know, considered real heaven money, so that they just redirect one of the good tubes into the outlet tube.
One of the things that's sorted is all the Joss paper that has been burnt for people who are in hell and doesn't belong to anybody.
Oh, the hell money.
The hell money. And so they're like, yeah, we're not even taking from anybody. We're taking from bad people anyways.
This is the philosophical equivalent of the rounding error.
Yes.
Oh, I like that. There's all this Joss money that gets burned for people in hell.
Yes. And like once a year they use it for stuff, you know, maybe they, you know, add a nice park to, or they send it to peace, or like, you know, they have like a hell exchange program or.
Oh, no, it is. No. We keep it in escrow in case anyone from down there makes it up here.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You never know.
If you're reborn.
We're optimistic. You never know. Yeah. People get reborn and stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's like the pension fund.
Yes.
Yeah. So yes, you do. There's the hell money, right? And so the hell money just all gets sorted into this big, separate thing.
It's just like a big pile, because it doesn't even need to be like sorted. It's just like, this is for people that don't.
Although I don't know that makes sense with the, like, eventually we're going to give it to you, because then you would want to keep track of it, right?
Sure.
But I mean, they can just intercept. It's on the way, and they intercept it while it's on the way to that.
Or they send it to hell, where it probably goes
to Wells Fargo, and the Wells Fargo deals
with
it.
Yeah, with bank fees. Yes, they send it.
They send it to the hell bank.
Yes,
they send it to Wells Fargo. Yes.
This is not ours. It's not ours to take, so we send it down to Hell's Fargo, and we don't know what they do with it, but we're sure that they're following.
Yeah, at the end of the week.
we're sure that they're following ethical bookkeeping, and yes, them sending the money to Hell's Fargo is very good.
Okay, so then, yes, once a week they take all the money they send to Hell's Fargo.
Okay, well, then you could do, if you wanted to do that, it would be that you literally do that, the Hell's Fargo truck shows up with the flaming steeds and the demons driving it.
Oh, flies out of the portal where he threw the dumplings down. The Hell's Fargo demon steed comes flying out of that portal that we established before, drives to the bank, gets all the money, and comes driving back.
So then they're like, that's it. We're not going to hit the bank. We're going to hit the Hell's Fargo truck.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
And yes, nobody ever hits it,
because
people in heaven are
relatively good. Not going to rob
the
truck.
And
then
it's classic, because then you pull under an underpass, right? And you do the whole switcheroo with the dumpling truck, right? So then as under the cover of night, you switch it out so that then you put all the gold into the dumpling car to then go to Kai Shen's.
Yes.
And then all of the money is smuggled in little dumplings.
And does it just happen to be that the day that the Hell's Fargo is coming out is the same day that...
That's like every day.
That's like every day. Okay,
it's like their version of Whoopsie.
Okay,
the Hell's Fargo.
Yeah, because there's tons of money going out. So even one day, every day. Yes, they should say every day we send about $40 million to hell.
Yes.
And like, great, perfect. We're gonna hit
$40 million. No one's looking at. No one's wondering where it went. You know what I mean? They're just, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's because mostly it's like all billionaires go to hell. It's like actually more money goes to hell than like we actually burn about $1 billion of hell money every single
day.
The
real money's in hell.
Okay.
Jeff Beelzebub.
Yes, they're getting the tour.
Yes, because they're like, shit, this place is airtight. That's what you do. They're like, so this is the money. Like, and you know, and then the tube where the money falls down is surrounded by like 12 inches of, you know, diamond encrusted glass that can't be broken, right?
Yes.
And there's, you know, it's the most secure place in all of heaven. They're like, how the hell are we going to hit this money?
Yeah.
And then they're like, wait a second, you know, because then they hear the cacophony of a fiery steed outside and they look out the window. Like, oh yeah, like we every day there's a lot of money that goes to the people in hell, and they're like, that's who we're gonna hit.
Yeah,
you know. Okay, so last thing I will say, and then I feel like comfortable diving in to write this. We need, like, I think you need a sense of how the miracle well works, or like the miracle portal or whatever. Do you know what I mean? If you're going to go to all the trouble of showing this miracle room, right?
Yes.
Do you want to see Sai Shen like answer a miracle? Or like, do you want to see like him looking? He's, if he's got like a big TV that he's scanning through everybody
it's like
praying.
Stock, it's like, the, it's you know what it is? It's like the stock market. It's like MSNBC or something. It's like Kramer. It's like on the thing. And it's like, we got miracle. We need so-and-so. And he's like, I think time to invest.
I would say the only way to demonstrate that would make sense would be that Sai Shen's just a really nice guy. And then he asks how does that work? Because again, Sai Shen's not suspecting anything. These are just people in heaven. He's like, oh, well, you can see like I got some orphans praying for food right now. So, and then like somebody, you know, his assistants come in with a bunch of food and he tosses it down and they have like a TV that opens up so you can see Earth and all these kids are praying and like a kid opens up a pantry and all of a sudden there's all this bread and they're like, oh my God. He's like, oh, that's pretty cool. He's like, yeah, you know, I do it every once in a while. You know, it's a balance. You can't just answer everybody's miracle, but that's part of being a god. Anyways, let me show you where the kitchen is or something like that. It's like, okay, you see how it works.
Or he can be doing it when they're sneaking around. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, again, like if in Sai Shen's living room, he has the big screen TV and he flips through images of people praying. Mm-hmm. And then he decides like, you know what? Yeah, let's give this kid an N64 game. And then he mm-hmm. drops it down a little bucket. Like, I understand that's how it works. And then, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to think of like, yeah, I don't know that
you need him to be like, let me show you random
I was just trying to do it within the same scene that if you're going to do that, they are just here being shown around, then Sai Shen's showing them around.
I just don't make it that easy for them. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're here because they're the help that are setting up the thing. Like, there should be like, you know, like, see them be a little crafty. About,
yeah.
Like, again, if one of them sneaks off to go to the bathroom, they see the...
He steps aside because he's got to answer his miracles. It would be that. It'd be like, my butler will continue what you're doing or whatever. And then one of them runs off to follow.
It's
and like,
miracle time.
Yes. And
it's
then,
like, sir, your miracle.
Oh, where did your partner go? Oh, she must have just used the bathroom. And then Konyaka is sneaking around and enters the room and watches him do his miracles.
I love the idea of Taishan's. It's like just God who's just like, where was your partner? Oh, she has to use the bathroom. Ha ha, you humans and your poop. Anyway.
You won't find one in here, but whatever room you use, we'll figure it out. we'll fix it.
Oh,
afterwards.
I don't have to do such earthly things, but you go ahead. It's quite amusing
don't
to
pee
me.
In that. That's my miracle well.
Okay, so yes, Konyak follows or sneaks off to go watch him do a miracle, and we see it happen. And we're like, that's how it works. As long as somebody's praying in that moment, he does it. And like, all right, like we get it. It kind of works. Like
you should see the person praying.
Sure. So like in the pool, whatever this, like you see.
Yes, whatever it is. Yes. It's like you see like a shimmering view of the person praying and you can answer their prayer
or
by
not.
Giving
yeah.
them what they want.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. So then once they see their brother praying, they would throw the money in. The way you get into it without getting into it is you watch it like minor, like if it was Minority Report, like you see him like, no, not desperate enough. Oh, good prayer. They don't need any bread. Oh, perfect. That one.
Matt is spinning his hands
like,
around.
He's like, you don't understand his process, but you understand he's got a complex process of deciding which prayers are answered or not. And they're just going to do it. Like somebody else could just walk in and just throw in everything that they request. But like, he's in charge of this process. So yes, he has his own philosophy on what prayers are answered that are prayed for him or not. Because of the dumplings, we know how we're going to do this heist, but the biggest problem is this emotional one, which is this all depends on his brother, which was luckily already in a... His brother was already sad, so it's like, fine, but now it's like, yes, Jin's going to have to get his brother into a desperate spot for this heist to work, because this is what the whole... This is the linchpin of the whole heist.
Yes, okay. Yeah. All right, well, let's take a run at it.
Will is clutching his eyes closed right now.
When we come back, I guess, some version of that? Is that the plan? All right.
Stick around.
Hey, you've reached Dr. Game Show. Leave your message after the beep.
Hi, this is Sarah, and I'd like to tell you about Dr. Game Show. Dr. Game Show is a band of geniuses, or nerds, or brilliant artists, or kids, or some combination of all of those, who get together to make a show like no other that's family-friendly. It's an interactive call-in game show podcast. When I found Dr. Game Show, I found joy. I told my friends and family that if they weren't listening, they were wasting joy. I sent them the episodes that made me laugh until I cried, played it for them in the car. They laughed, too, laughed their butts off. But they still don't listen on their own, so they're wasting joy. And I keep looking for someone to understand me. Maybe it's you. Give Dr. Game Show a listen and find joy.
Listen to Dr. Game Show on Maximum Fun. New episodes every other Wednesday.
Exterior, well, night. Most of the scene we already wrote plays, and then we get to the new part that we change so it makes sense for this part. Something wafts into frame. A slip of golden paper. It lands at Jin's feet. He picks it up. It reads, Kyle's Super Special Dumpling Recipe by Graham Graham. A tear falls onto the recipe. Jin's lip trembles as his eyes grow watery. He tucks the receipt into his pocket and raises his sunglasses to his face with a trembling hand, then vanishes into thin air. Interior safe house, day. Jin wakes up with a start on his cot as Whiskey plunges a syringe into his chest. Jin gasps for air. The gang, everyone else is already conscious, gathers around him.
Hey, where'd you and Graham Graham go after dinner?
Did you tell her about the job? Is she in? She's not gonna narc on us, is she?
Jin catches his breath and shakes his head.
No, she's gone.
What do you mean, gone?
I mean, she went to a better place. Whatever comes next. Looks like we helped her more than we thought. The old lady achieved enlightenment.
A groan of despair from the gangsters. Though Tequila can't help but give a private, proud smile.
Oh, jeez, man, are you okay?
You can still cook her dumplings, though, right?
Jin fights back his emotion with a burst of macho gruffness.
Yeah, I got a recipe right here, see?
He hands them the recipe he tucked into his pocket. Brandy examines the wet spot on it.
Did you cry on this?
Jin snatches the recipe back. He gets up and tacks it to their heist planning wall.
We're one step closer to pulling this off, but we've got a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. So what's next?
Exterior Sai Shen's Palace, day. A long, long line of nervous chefs of all ethnicity and cuisine styles wait outside the huge golden doors of Sai Shen's Palace. The doors creak open. The chefs look up expectantly. A servant angel peeks out her head.
Attention, everyone. Attention, please. Our search for a caterer is over. Thank you for showing your interest, but you can all go home.
Angry groans of disappointment from the line.
Come on.
An angry French chef throws a croissant at the servant angel. She cowers back inside as the chefs pelt her with food. We follow the angel through the golden doors into interior Sai Shen's Palace Foyer Day. This foyer makes Xanadu look like a dumpy little shack in the woods. It's everything you would expect and more from the pleasure palace of the god of wealth and prosperity.
Magnificent. Simply magnificent.
A giant side door swings open and Sai Shen, looking just like his shrine statue, only 20 feet tall and glowing with ethereal energy, steps into the foyer, followed by Jin and Cognac holding a platter of dumplings.
Those were the finest dumplings I've ever tasted in my life.
Cognac bows before Sai Shen and elbows Jin to do the same.
You honor us greatly, wise and benevolent Sai Shen.
Yes. I have much to do before my party. Oh, Higgins!
Higgins, a 20-foot tall butler, apparates next to Sai Shen.
Yes, sir.
Be a dear and see our new chefs to the banquet hall.
Very good, sir.
Ta-ta for now. I'm off to answer prayers.
Sai Shen hops onto a giant tiger and rides off down the hallway. Jin and Cognac exchange a quick glance. Cognac clears her throat.
Excuse me, sir. Before we continue, is there a bathroom nearby I can use?
Oh, dear, you must be newly deceased. There's no toilets in heaven. You just go in your pants and your poop transforms into the scent of jasmine.
Cognac freezes for a beat, then bluffs her way through.
Yes, of course. I can't go unless I've got something to read and something to sit on.
She gives a nervous smile. Higgins sighs with contempt. He points to a nearby room.
There's a chair and some Garfield comics in the library. Don't go wandering around.
Higgins leads Jin away. Cognac gives Jin a thumbs up.
As for you, this way to the kitchen.
As they leave, Cognac heads off down the hallway to follow Sai Shen. Interior, Bank of Heaven, day. Meanwhile, at the Bank of Heaven, Brandy and Tequila watch with a gaggle of awestruck tourists as a torrent of gold falls through a giant shaft in the middle of the bank. Beneath them, the gold is sorted into a complex series of pneumatic tubes that shoot back up to teller windows throughout the bank. A tour guide angel talks to the group. Every day, the Bank of Heaven processes billions in Joss money offerings through our central sorting system. Tequila and Brandy whisper to each other as they scan their surroundings. This place is a fortress. Unbreakable glass, guards every 3 meters, not to mention whatever the heck that thing is. A hideous floating ball with 1,000 eyes and 2 super buff arms glides past them, giving a friendly wave.
Welcome to the Bank of Heaven!
Brandy scowls, undaunted.
There's always a weak point. You just gotta find it and squeeze.
One of their fellow bank tourists raises her hand to ask a question.
I've got a few relatives that are probably in hell. Where does all the money that gets burned for them go?
The tour guide angel gives a cheesy grin and checks his watch.
Well, funny you should ask. Outside, the unholy shriek of a hideous monster pierces the air.
The tour guide cups a hand around his ear.
Is that the old Hell's Fargo I hear?
He leads the curious group to the window. Intercut, exterior Heaven City, day. Outside, people cower and flee as a demonic stagecoach driven by 4 flaming skeleton horses races up to the bank. Nervous angels haul a huge pallet of golden jewels out of the bank. 4 tiny goblins climb out of the wagon and run up to the gold, cackling with glee.
The tour guide points to the scene below and explains, "Every cent that's earmarked for the unfortunate residents of Hell is transferred to our sister bank in the underworld. We don't know exactly what they do with it, but they're honor-bound to follow ethical banking regulation. Now on with the tour." The rest of the tour group leaves the window, but Tequila and Brandy linger. Brandy smiles and cracks her knuckles.
"You thinking what I'm thinking?"
"We hit them on their way out of town. Tie them up someplace nice and safe. By the time anyone knows they're missing, we'll be back on Earth with the cash." Brandy chuckles as the tiny goblins scamper around the colossal pile of gold.
"Look at those little twerps. This is going to be a walk in the park."
They leave the window to rejoin their tour, but after they turn their backs, the goblins below grow to 10 times their size, hoist the gold with powerful, bulging muscles, and dump it into the wagon. Interior palace hallway, day. Back at the palace, Cognac sneaks her way through the opulent hallway past servants and guards, peeking through doors, finding nothing until...
She hears
the sound of Sai Shen's voice coming through a nearby door. She cracks it open and peeks inside. Interior, Sai Shen's throne room, day. Sai Shen lounges on a throne, staring down at a portal at his feet. Through it, he sees the shimmering images of kind, innocent people praying for wealth and prosperity. Poor children, holy monks, humble farmers, etc. Every time he taps his staff on the ground, the portal's image changes to a new prayer. The image of Keith and Julia, those two plucky kids praying in our intro, appears.
"Our restaurant's Instagram page only has 10 followers. If we don't grow our brand soon, our parents will never get the digital edge they need to compete in the fast-paced, cutthroat world of influencer-driven fine dining."
"Those two again? Oh, sure, why not?"
He snaps his fingers and a bouquet of like emojis, thousands of tiny glowing hearts, smiling faces, and thumbs up appear in his hand. He sprinkles them over the portal and they disappear as they plunge through it. On the other side, Julia's phone blows up with notifications.
"Oh my gosh, our engagement's through the roof!"
They smile up at Sai Shen.
"Thank you, Sai Shen."
You're welcome."
Sai Shen taps his staff and the portal image disappears. Cognac watches the scene through a tiny crack in the doorway. She grins. Interior, safe house, day. Cognac points to the drawing of Sai Shen on the heist wall.
Sai Shen answers prayers from his throne room, but only the kindest souls on Earth get an audience.
Tequila nods and glances to Jin. "We've got our plan for the bank, our inn at the palace. Jin, the next part's up to you." Jin stares at his brother's picture on the wall.
"I'm on it."
Interior, Taoist temple, youth study room, night. Jin steps through the doors of the youth study room with a phony grin on his face and a Tupperware full of dumplings under his arm.
"Hey, bro, I know you've been having a tough time lately, but good news. I think I finally figured out Graham's recipe for..."
Jin stops in his tracks and his eyes bolt wide with horror as he stares at Freddy, busily teaching a lesson to the two gangsters who shook him down at Lily's apartment. The gangsters now wear monk robes and sit crisscross applesauce as they look up at Freddy with reverent wonder.
"Kyle, what a surprise! And look, who's decided to abandon their criminal ways in pursuit of a gentler path?"
The gangsters wave at Jin.
"Hi!"
Jin's face fills with grim despair as he waves back.
"Hi."
I love Matt's Jin voice. It's so gritty.
Matt's God voice might just be Matt's
Hello.
New voice. How have I not? I've known you for what? Over a decade. I've never heard this voice.
The deep voice.
Countless sexy gods are ready to chat with you. Call heaven today. I love all the voice energy Matt's thrown at us.
Oh,
you got,
thank you.
You got sexy Jin voice. You got Sai Shen voice. I got to turn the AC off. So
AC off voice. I like eyeball buff arms guy because he's got a weenie voice. Like, I get it. He's fine. Everyone's cool with
Does
them.
He come back? He better come back. That guy should actually be the biggest obstacle when...
Eyeball Man?
Eyeball Man.
He's like, really just a beholder from Dungeons & Dragons with buff arms.
Yeah, I was just thinking the Kakko Demon from Doom.
Oh, yeah. Same he's thing. Yeah, basically, yeah. This is a... Floating Eyeball Guys is an area well-trod by the fantasy universe. World, yeah.
Well, what I imagine... I guess I misunderstood the way he looks, but like what I imagine is like they defeat the demons and they think they're like getting away, and all of a sudden they realize the horses are kicking, but they're not actually moving, and they look down, and the Eyeball Man's just holding them, kind of like Donkey Kong and Smash Brothers, and just walking them back. And like, oh, shit! It's like, dude, this Eyeball Guy is invincible.
And have to make him cry.
Yeah. Anyways, that's a fun scene.
Yeah, I'm digging it. I think we live to
We're
fight another
finally
day.
Finally on this fucking high screen.
And they say
baby.
Like you should send like a spec script should be like 100 pages or so. So we got like 10 more minutes and we're done.
Yeah, we're on page 85 of this script.
It's almost
right.
done.
Yeah, man. I feel like Jin's got to ruin his brother's life and then feel bad and then we do the caper and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I guess we get in there.
You get the idea.
Yeah, you get
it. It's one of those.
It's one of those movies.
Oh, thank you for bearing with us, everyone. This has been a very, very fun process, but as you can tell, a little terrifying as well. So we're hoping you're enjoying it as much as we're enjoying writing it.
And you know how you can show they show that by all the copious fan art they dump at our feet.
Hey, Freddie, that's a great segue. I just want you to know you're doing a real good job on the podcast.
Thanks, bud.
We did get some really good fan art this week. Coco at Sleepy the Mime on Twitter sent us some adorable whiskey fan art that I am obsessed with because it's just adorable. It's very, very, very cute. You can check it out on our Twitter page, twitter.com/RJStoryBreak, or our Facebook group. Let's see if I get it right this time. bit.ly/StoryBreakFB.
You nailed it, my man. You nailed it.
Buckets.
And we are all this whole thing on the Maximum Fun Network, the podcast network for the discerning podcast listeners such as yourself.
Head over to cognoscenti of the podcast world.
Head over to MaximumFun.org and check out that new website and check out our episodes and also check out, you know, a bunch of the other great podcasts on there. I'm going to be on this. I don't think it's going to be on next week, but at least in the next month, I'm going to be on Go Fact Yourself this Sunday. I don't know when that episode will release. And I'm going to be talking about three topics near and dear to my heart. What are they?
What are they?
Well, I'm not going to spoil it for listeners, but I'll give you a hint for one of them. Anybody got light?
Your smoking obsession.
My obsession with smoking cigars. That's right. That's going to do it for us this week. Thanks so much for listening. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos. And the phrase, it's just a podcast, is such a weak mindset. If you're okay with what happened, losing, making a bad podcast, imperfection of a craft, whenever you stop getting angry after releasing a bad podcast episode, you've lost twice. There's always something to learn and always room for improvement. So never settle. That's from Podcaster Ninja, whose new podcast is coming to the Maximum Fun Network next week. It's called Get Good.
It's called Get Good.
I'm going to be on it talking about screenwriting. It's not real. I'm going to throw to Matt now because I've lost the bit.
No, that's good. My name's Matt Arnold, and I'm not on that podcast because I already got good.
Oh, very good. You proved
good. Good.
Hey, everyone. It's I, John Hodgman of the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
And I, Elliot Kalin of the Flophouse podcast.
And we've made a whole new podcast, a 12-episode special mini-series called iPodius, in which we recap, discuss, and explore the very famous 1976 BBC miniseries about ancient Rome called I, Claudius. We've got incredible guests such as Gillian Jacobs, Paul F. Tompkins, as well as star of I, Claudius, Sir Patrick Stewart, and his son, non-Sir Daniel Stewart.
Don't worry, Dan. You'll get there someday.
iPodius is the name of the show. Every week from MaximumFun.org for only 12 weeks. Get them at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.